With gratitude, Father, we come before you. With gratitude, Father, we request your presence, knowing full well that our request is granted. With gratitude, Father, we come into your presence. With gratitude, Father, we adore you. With gratitude, Father, we worship you. With gratitude, Father, we come to you as is your request. With gratitude, Father, we love you. Amen. There's nothing worth more that will come close. Nothing can compare. You're all in love. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, that's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see of the goodness of God. I will see of the goodness of God.
I will follow.
Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Follow. All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow. I will follow you. Follow you. Light unto the world, light unto my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I see, knowing I will find. All I need in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Who you love, I'll love. Who you serve, I'll serve. In this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow, I will follow. Follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you move, I'll move. I'll follow you. Who you love, I'll love. While you serve, I'll serve. Everlasting, in you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy. And I will follow. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy. And I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. When you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. In this life I lose, I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. When you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. Serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you.
I will follow.
I will follow you.
Follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you.
Our lives are yours. We choose to follow you. We delight in the opportunity to follow you. That you would have us to follow you is amazing grace to us, and we delight in you. Amazing God. Amazing God you are.
As we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever.
are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, glory be unto your name. Be unto Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. We are the broken, you are the healer, Jesus, Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name.
It is amazing that the Lord would give us the revelation of what is happening in the heavenlies. It is a wonderful thing that we could join with the heavenly chorus and sing those words, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. What an incredible opportunity for us to join with that which is beyond our realm, to know and to worship the one who is worthy, 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 worthy of all worship and all praise.
Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Oh, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name.
Separate, even if I run away, your love never fails. And I know I still make mistakes, but You have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. You say the same through the ages. Your love never changes. Maybe pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid. Because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. The wind is strong and the water's deep. I'm not alone here in these open seas. Cause your love never fails. Is far too wide. Never thought I'd reach the other side. But your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. Maybe pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid. Because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
Your love never fails.
Your love never fails.
Your love never.
Because his love never fails. Because he's always after us. Because he's always wanting what is good for us. Because his love never fails. He keeps after us. Keeps going. Keeps going after us. He never relents.
Say you have. has a seal upon my heart, has a seal upon my arm. For there is love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave. And many waters cannot quench His love. You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. Come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. Come be the fire inside of me. Until you and I. Fire inside of me, come be the flame upon my heart. Come be the fire inside of me, until you and I are one. Won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. I set you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arm. For there is love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave. And many waters cannot quench this love. Come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. Come be the fire inside of me. Until you and I are one. Come be the fire inside of me. Come be the flame upon my heart. Come be the fire inside of me.
You would come and be the fire inside of us. Burn away all the dross and make us one, 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 one with Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just a couple of announcements, and then we move on. There is no food pantry this week. It seems like a long, long time, and we get another week off before we climb back into the harness, and so be alert to that. You may note in your bulletin that there has been a change in the schedule for John's ordination. It's still tomorrow, but instead of being at 6:30, it's at 2:30 in the afternoon. The airlines have their ideas about how things should work, and we have our ideas, and if we're going to fly with them, we have to go with their program. So We haven't yet learned how to fly without the help of the airlines, but that's coming. So stay tuned, and you'll be able to fly without the help of an airline. It's coming up real soon. Isn't that good news? John yesterday was working on airlines just to get here. They are not very dependable. So we're looking forward to the day when God will enable us to fly without the help of the United Airlines. Delta did well yesterday, and so there's a commercial for Delta Airlines, no charge. They got John and Samuel here today to help us. We want to welcome John and Samuel. Years ago, John and Samuel's dad, Andrew, came here, and we couldn't understand his English. And I don't think he understood our English either. It's amazing how English is a different language in different cultures. And it's still all English, you know. But anyways, we were blessed to have Andrew with us those times. And now we are blessed to have two of his sons with us today. John is the one that we're going to ordain, and we also have with us this morning Samuel. Now, I understand, Samuel, that you have a brother named Samuel as well, or John has a brother named Samuel. Isn't that right? We got two Samuel Camaros, or is the last name quite a little bit different? Same. So here's a family that has two Samuels, you know. That's unique. And we have, are you the older one? You're the older Samuel, and then there's a younger Samuel that came along later. And we didn't meet this Samuel until this is our first time to meet this Samuel. But the younger Samuel we've met on several occasions in Kenya. We're thankful for this opportunity to meet with John and Samuel. I would like to interrupt this broadcast with an opportunity to draw upon them, even before they come to share, to draw upon them the anointing that rests upon them, that we might receive from them. And so earlier Lee suggested that we lay hands on them to receive. Normally when you lay hands on people, you lay hands on to give, and that's, or to impart, and that's normal, and nothing wrong with that. But we were interested in receiving here today as well as giving. And so before we go any further, John and Samuel, would you just stand up here? And those of you that would like to say, I want to be a recipient of whatever the grace of God that's in them, I'd like to cross-pollinate a little bit with the Almighty. Would you be willing to do that? Anybody wants to cross-pollinate, you can come and just put your hand on one of their shoulders. And our goal is that maybe they'll get something good out of us, but we certainly want to get something of God out of them. If you want something of God out of Kenya, here's your chance. Kenya has come to us. And maybe we can release something of God out of America, if there's any, and release it into them. And so we, this morning, Lord, we do lay hands on these brothers, not just to give or to impart, but to receive. We recognize that you have put into John and to Samuel even the anointing that was on Andrew years ago, and the anointing, the blessing, the flow of your grace and favor that went into Andrew was released into these men. And Lord, even beyond that, their own anointing and their own provision. And we open our hearts to receive from them today, and we release into them as well the things, the good things that you have given us. We release those good things into our brothers in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Now, John and Samuel, you can stay here. Get your computer, Samuel, I guess. We advertised that John was going to speak, and so we're going to let John speak, but then they're going to figure out what to do between them thereafter. And you introduce Samuel and do whatever you got to do, you know, but we're in church, so act like it.
Praise the Lord. It is kind of hard to act like I'm in church when Pastor George is the one who is around, but I'll do my best. This morning, there's a scripture that was shared with me before I introduced my brother to come and speak from the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. And it came to me like a whole new revelation. And I don't want to read it because Pastor Samuel would be speaking, but God was saying, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Now, each one of us was formed separately in your mother's womb, and God laid a plan for you. And one of the things that stood out is that before you made every turn that you made, God knew you. Before you are where you are, God knew you. Before you started maybe having questions that run in your mind, God knew you. And so this morning, irrespective of where you are in life, I want to remind you the same words that God knew you before you were formed and knows you today. And not only does He know you, He has a greater purpose for you. I feel laid in my heart that sometimes we struggle without knowing why we are here. But God is saying, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And God wants to empower that in you. I pray that even as Pastor Samuel comes to speak this morning, whatever God formed you for will start flowing out of you in the name of Jesus. You're that reason that God formed. There's that reason that God formed you for. Whether you know it or not, may God bring it to pass in Jesus' name. That is my prayer and my desire this morning. And I pray the same thing for myself, that even as I go out of here, I will be able to fulfill why God formed me. Because if He formed me, He knew me before I was formed, He has a purpose. The nations and people around us are suffering, but that's because we have not been able to release what is in us. There is a lot of pain out there because we have not been able to release what God has deposited in us. So I pray that God will give us that opportunity that we may go out and change the world starting from within us. Pastor Samuel is my brother.
You prayed. You agreed. I'd like you just to say the prayer. And when he gets done praying, if you agree, would you just say amen? So be it in me. You know, and if you don't want to say so be it in you, say so be it in George. This George. And I'll take it. So would you say the prayer? And then, folks, would you, those of you that say, yes, God, do call, your purpose in me, accomplish it. Let's agree. Let's just say amen to this thing. Go ahead.
Our Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, this morning your word reminds us that you knew us before you formed us in our mother's womb. There are many things, situations, and life happenings that sometimes have left us wondering why we are here and wondering what our purpose is. But that has never changed your purpose, O God. And therefore this morning, as we stand in your house, God, as we stand on your altar, we want to pray that God, through your grace that never fails, that Lord, you may release what you created us for, O God. We are your children that carry healing to the nations. We are your children that carry hope to the hopeless. Father, we are the healing to a lot of people who are going through depression. To a lot of families that are falling apart, God, you have deposited their hope in us. to a lot of people who are suffering from mental illnesses, Lord. You have given us that hope for them, O Jehovah. And that's why you created us, God. Therefore, this morning, in the name of Jesus, I pray that God, in each one of us, you will stimulate that word and that gift that is in us, Lord. Yes. That even as we live here this morning, yes. God, our gifts will start working, O Jehovah Father. You say that you send us to the nations, O God. As we live here, every nation that we meet, whether be it in the supermarket, O God, we pray that, God, they will experience your hand, O Jehovah God. They will experience your word that will flow out of us, O God. Be it in a word of kindness, O God, an act of kindness, God, an act of sympathy. God, you're going to use us for the glory of your name, O Father. For you created us for a time as this, Lord. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I release the anointing to flow through each one of us in the name of Jesus. The anointing that breaks every yoke of the enemy. Anointing that removes any confusion in our lives. God, anointing that breaks any doubt that we may have in us, that makes us doubt our purpose in this world, O God. Father, we pray that your hand is going to be seen, O Father. Your presence will go with us, Lord. And each one of us, Lord, will fulfill the purpose why you created us, God. Let it come out of us, Lord. Let it flow out of us, God. And let your love be seen through us, O God. Let your presence be seen through us, O God. Let your healing flow through us, O God. And to each one of us who might be struggling with things inside, remind them, God, that you knew them before they were formed in their mother's womb, O God. Father, there are those people who are struggling at this time, but still smiling from the outside, O God. They have things in their heart that are weighing them down, O God, that are taking them from their purpose, O God. There are people who don't know where tomorrow holds, O God, that they can't even figure out where they are, O God, but yet they walk around smiling. God, I pray that today speak unto their hearts and break every chain that is holding them down, O Father, and let them experience that love and grace of God that never fails. We thank you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Allow me to introduce Pastor Samuel. He is my brother that we have grown together in the same house. Also brothers from different mothers. But he's a man of God who serves God in Kiambu. He's pastoring a church there called Uhai Center. And when he heard I was being ordained, he said he would want to be here. I don't know if he was coming to make sure I was ordained or to make sure Pastor George is real. So it's one of the two. We'll figure it out. But I thank God for him. He's a man who encourages me a lot when sometimes I'm down. He's a man who brings the word of God as real as it is. So I don't want to take much of the time. I know after this you might never listen to me again. So it's good you heard me before he came. But whether you don't listen to me anymore, you're stuck with me because I'm part of this family. So, you know, you don't choose your family. You didn't choose me. So we are stuck together. Let's make the best out of it, okay? Don't kick out the family member because of a guest. He's going home and I'm here, okay? All right, welcome, Pastor Samuel. God bless you so much.
Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful for me to be here. Thank you, Papa George, for inviting us and having us here. I stand in memory of Bishop Andrew, the late Bishop, who raised me up together with John, and that tremendous work in our formative years. I got to meet him when I was 16 years of age. I had just given my life to Christ, and he taught me the word of God. And at the age of 19, I surrendered my life to be a minister. Sorry, I lost my voice yesterday at 4. So you've got to listen very keenly. And I hope that God is going to bless you. Amen. I want to talk to us on beginning our journeys again with God. beginning our journey again with God. And as I share this word with us this morning, I realize that God gives us many opportunities to begin afresh. Whether it is in your family, in ministry, in your career, whatever it is that you are doing, God will occasionally give us many opportunities to begin. And I said this morning that there are specific individuals in our midst that God is giving an opportunity to begin afresh. However, as we endeavor to begin our journeys with God, there are times this becomes very confusing and sometimes very challenging. And I want us to consider the life of Jacob, a man who began a journey with God, and see some of the blessings, some of the lessons we can learn from him on how he began his journey and how he walked with God until he was successful. Jacob was born of Isaac. There were born two brothers, Jacob and Esau. And we know that Jacob was a man who had a perfected destiny in his life. And God desired to fulfill the promises of Abraham through Jacob. However, in the course of his upbringing, he encountered various challenges. Challenges that we all encounter in life. For example, number one, he was named the wrong way. When he was born, he came out holding the heel of his brother Esau. And when his parents saw that, they named him Jacob. The name Jacob means as a planter, one who takes by force. They forgot what God has said, because Jacob was not as a planter. Jacob was a blessed son. But the parents named him by what they saw, not by what God had said. And that became a challenge for him. Secondly, Jacob was not his father's favorite. Even though the father knew that Jacob was the man to carry the mandate, to carry the blessing of Abraham, he wasn't his father's favorite. His father favored Esau, who brought him a good meal. When he went hunting, he brought some meat for him. And by so doing, he stole the heart of Isaac from Jacob. Number three, Jacob hurt his brother trying to take hold of the prophetic word. One of the days, Esau came back home hungry and needed some food. And Jacob said, in order for me to give you some food, you must surrender your birthright. And that became a challenge for him at home. Even though he was a blessed man by a prophetic word, they had a hurtful relationship with his brother. And finally, he lied to his father, and by lying to his father, he took a blessing that was meant to be Isaac's. And he got an advice. We want to read Genesis 27, verse number 43 and verse number 44. This was the advice that was given to Jacob by the mother. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away. Now, the mother observed the challenges that Jacob was facing, and he advised him to flee away. Begin your journey by running away from home. The mother here is a representation of the different systems that we all go through and the different challenges that we all go through as we are trying to begin new things in life. And so the mother, because of her connectedness with Jacob, he spoke to her and said, flee away. And there are many people today who begin their journey with God by fleeing. Most of us. It could be in your marriage. It could be in your business. It may be also in ministry. Who begin the journey by fleeing and running away. And that was the advice that was given to Jacob by the mother. But the father intervenes. And we want to look at that in the book of Genesis 28 and verse number 1. The Bible says, then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. Jacob had an instruction from the mother, flee, run away. But God sent his servant Isaac to rectify and told Jacob, don't run away. And what a blessing when God responds to us by sending a father to us who comes to correct our beginning point. Because if Jacob did not have Isaac in his life, he was going to obey the words of the mother that was saying, flee. Fleeing is definitely running away from danger. And God does not want us to flee. God wants us to walk by faith. That is the mind of God, that I walk by faith and not fleeing away. Now, looking at verse number 1, the Bible says, then Isaac called Jacob. Every time a father comes to a son, he calls him out. To call out is to summon. That's what fathers do. They will summon a son. He is ready for a journey. But if he begins without a father, then he's going to make a mess out of it. So Isaac summons Jacob. A father is one who calls a son out of his boyhood. And even this week, as we are coming into our papa's house, we have one desire that God is going to use Pastor George to call out John so that he can be able to walk the path that God has ordained for him. Every time a father comes in, he calls out a son out of the boy. A father also calls out a son out of error. In this life, we are about to make very many mistakes and errors. And if you begin your life without a father's calling you out, then you are going to perpetuate and walk in the errors that you've been walking in. And that is what Jacob was about to do. Walk in the error that was in his life. But when Jacob came, when Isaac came, he called him out of the error. Secondly, Isaac blessed him. Blessings are spoken by someone in authority, and they impact your future with success and prosperity. The Bible says, it's always the greater who blesses the lesser. No one has capability to bless themselves. I cannot bless myself. It takes another one who is greater, who is higher, who is more anointed, who has a bigger dimension to bless and impact our lives. And that's how we come into this house, Papa George. We come seeking for a blessing. That even as John is beginning and taking a new journey, we pray that God is going to use you to release a blessing into his life. And that blessing does several things. Number one, it causes immunity against demonic attacks. Every time a father speaks a blessing to a son, that blessing becomes like a wall that protects that son from demonic attacks. More so in ministry, we are exposed every day. Our families are exposed. Our children are exposed. Our health is exposed. Our marriages are exposed. But when an Isaac comes into a Jacob and he releases a blessing, that blessing causes immunity against all kinds of attacks. More than money, the blessing of a father is to be desired. More than success, more than prosperity, the blessing of a father is to be desired. And that is what Isaac gets from, that is what Jacob gets from Isaac. Number two, the blessing of a father imparts grace and covers weaknesses and shortcomings that may hinder our progress in life and ministry. All of us have many weaknesses. The Bible says a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he will rise up. He falls because he was weak, but he will rise up because of the grace of God and because of the blessing in his life.
When a father speaks a blessing to a son who is beginning, that blessing comes and imparts grace, and that grace covers weaknesses. I have many weaknesses, but the blessing of God releases grace that covers me. And finally, number three, the blessing of a father midwives our victories and successes. Everybody desires to be successful. Every son desires to conquer nations. Everyone desires to reach to the next level. However, without the blessing of a father, that becomes impossible. But when a father releases and imparts a blessing to the son, now that son gets a midwife who helps them to be delivered. So when Jacob begins the journey, Isaac comes and releases a blessing upon his life.
Okay. Now, Samuel, would you give the review, those three results of blessing?
All right.
Because some
all
of
right.
these people fall asleep. I was wide awake, but the rest, please, let's hear the,
all right.
the three.
Okay. Maybe some more sound on my microphone. All right. All right. I'm talking about the importance of the blessing of a father. Number one, a father's blessing imparts immunity against demonic attacks. Number two, imparts grace that covers weaknesses and shortcomings that may hinder progress in life and ministry. Hey, good. The blessing of a father imparts grace that covers weakness and shortcomings that may hinder progress in life and ministry.
Okay, somewhat like that.
Number three, the father's blessings midwives our victories and successes in life and ministry. Midwives. When a woman is giving birth, she will need a midwife, right? So a father's blessing comes to midwife our successes and victories. So when Jacob receives the blessing of Isaac, he receives the three blessings in his life. The third thing that Isaac did for Jacob was to give him a charge. He gave him a charge. In verse number one, then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him. The charge on Jacob was twofold. Number one, he was told, you shall not take a wife, right? So the charge was, you shall not. A father guides by showing the son the things he must not do, right? That was a charge. So you are determined, you are strong, you are willing to go, but I'm giving you a charge. Thou shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And that's one of the blessings of a father. He puts guiding posts. He puts beacons on your life. It's like a river that has banks. If a son has no father, it's like a swamp. A river that spreads all over. But a father comes and puts banks, and that son is able to walk and have momentum in life and in ministry. Number two, he told him, but go and get yourself a wife from Laban's house. So the charge was, don't do this, but do the other one. When we come to the house of God, we not only come to a house, but we come to the house of the Father. And the Father gives us a charge. And the charge includes what we must do and what we must not do. He directs us. He orders our steps. He guides us. He points the direction that we must take. So when Jacob is beginning the journey, the father charges him, when you go, make sure that you get a wife from the house of Laban, from Bethuel's house, but do not get a wife from any other place. As I finish my sharing this morning, Isaac brought purpose and destiny to Jacob's life. Purpose and destiny. If you don't have a father in your life, there is a likelihood that you are going to go round cycles in the wilderness if you don't have a father in your life. But every time a father comes, he defines your purpose. The mother told Jacob, run away. Go to your uncle's house. But Isaac said, go into your uncle's house and get a wife. He was given a purpose. You are not just going there to stay. You are going there for a wife. And that's what happens. Every time a father's voice comes to a son, purpose is defined. Our heavenly Father defined the purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to the earth as the only begotten of the Father. He came as a sent one. And the Bible says, for this purpose I was manifested. The fathers give purpose to their sons. Secondly, they also give destiny. There was a specific house that he was to go. If a son walks away without the blessing of a father, he ends up in the wilderness. He becomes like Hagar, who ran away from Abraham's house and was found by the angel of the Lord in the wilderness. And while in the wilderness, the angel of the Lord found him and asked him, Hagar, where are you going and where are you coming from? And Hagar said, I am running away from my mistress Sarah, for she has mistreated me. And the angel said, go back to Abraham's house and submit yourself. Go back to your father's house. And every time a father comes into our lives, he comes to bring purpose and direction and destiny into our lives. Now, let's do a final reading. Genesis chapter 28, verse number 10 to verse number 14. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached the heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you, your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. When Jacob began his journey, the blessing of Isaac took him straight to a place called Luz, L-U-Z. And the word of God says, when he came over there, the sun set on him. I want to show us the significance of a place called Luz. Because once you are blessed by your father, the next station you go is to a place called Luz. Right? This is how it is. Number one, is a place where the sun sets, the natural light is over, and we survive by the glory of God. Right? So when he came to Luz, the sun set on him, yet the man was seeing. So what happened? The glory of the Lord came upon Jacob. By this time, Jacob had never had a personal experience with God, but it was time for him to be able to know God. But when he came to Luz, God proved to be there by the night coming and the glory of God coming down to him. Number two was a place that had stones. Stone is figurative of Christ in the word of God. He is the rock of ages. The Bible says he took a stone and he slept on it. That stone was Christ. The same one that walked with Moses in the wilderness. The same one that gave water to the nation of Israel. The same stone by which the church is founded. The Lord said, I will build my church on the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That rock is the same rock that Jacob had, and he slept on it. Luz is also a place of an open heaven and revelation. The Bible says when Jacob came to Luz, the heavens opened up, and there was a ladder connecting the heavens and the earth, and the angels were ascending and they were descending on him. Every time a son is walking in the blessing of a father, he comes into Luz and the heavens opens up. The other blessing you find about Luz is a place of personal commitment to God. When the heavens opened up, God spoke to him and he said, I am the Lord God of your fathers, Abraham and Isaac. And in that transaction, God wanted to become the God of Jacob. Hallelujah. That's what God desired. Because for a long time, Jacob had known him to be the God of his fathers. The God of my grandfather, Abraham, and the God of my father, Isaac. But he had never been his God. So it is at Luz, where God is no longer the God of our fathers, he became the God of my father. And that's what I pray. That even as you begin your journey once again, as you walk with God, he will become your God. And that in the new thing that you begin, God is going to walk with you. Now in verse number 15, the Bible says, behold, I am with you, will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. It is at Luz that the promises of God becomes very personal. You see, friends, it's possible to come to a house like this, and we see God as a God for everyone, but he never becomes a personal God. The God of Samuel, the God of John, the God of George, the God of the sons, and the God of the daughters. It was at Luz that God spoke to him specifically. I'm not now the God of Isaac. I am not now the God of Abraham. I want to be your God. I want to be known by you. I want to give you a personal promise. I want your commitment. I want to walk with you. And that's what I pray this morning. That even as we wind up this service, like Jacob, you are going to begin your journey with God. And you are going to come at Luz. And as you experience him, he is going to speak to you at a personal level. It's not just about following the God of our fathers, the God of the Bible. He now becomes our God. We get to know him at a personal level. And when he got to know this, the man made a promise. He made a vow. And that's where we end our sharing. Verse number 18. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. Every time you encounter God, it is important for you to respond like he did. When he woke up, he put up a pillar. Lest I forget, I want to make this pillar to always remind me. And he took some oil. It's an act of sacrifice. Oil was the most precious thing of the day. Right? It's like today, gold. So he takes the most precious thing and he pours it on that. He pours it on the pillar he had set up and he gave it value and he said, lest I forget the experience that I have had with God. That is how he transacted with God. That was his response. Number 2, verse number 19. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that place had been Luz previously. The name Bethel means the house of God. Right? Every time you encounter God, he not only changes you, but he also wants to change the places that you go. And he declared, this place is no longer Luz. It's now becoming Bethel. It's the house of God. God will come and make habitation here. Is the meeting point between man, God and man. Is a convergence. Is a place where divinity and humanity meets. And he declared, this is now Bethel. Is a personal decision that he made. And verse number 20. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I set as a pillar shall be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth unto you. Please take note of this. Jacob made a personal commitment to God. Personal commitment to God. And that's what I want to encourage each one of us to have. A personal commitment to God. And that's what he said. If you be with me and keep me this way, I'm going, you shall be my God. He asked for four things. Number one, God's presence. God's presence. He was saying, Lord, I am taking on a new journey to a place I have never been before. If you shall go with me, I want your presence with me. Number two, he was asking for God's protection. Number three, God's provision. And number four, God's guidance. Every time you encounter God, in your transaction with him, you've got to make a demand. And for him, presence, protection, provision, and guidance. And then he gave his personal commitment. Number one, he said, I am going to have a personal relationship with God. You shall be my God. If you are going to be with me, I shall make you my God. Number two, he said, I'm going to build the Lord a house. In verse 22. At this place called Bethel, I'm going to build God a house. In the New Testament, we don't build this house. We build this house. We allow God to make our bodies a habitation, to come and live and dwell with us. And number three, he made a commitment, and of all that God will give me, I will give you a tenth out of it. Abraham gave a tenth. Isaac was a tither, but Jacob had never had a revelation about tithing. But when he was at loose, when he saw the presence of God, when he made a personal commitment, he also said, God, if you go with me, if you protect me, if you care for me, I will not only build for you a house, but out of all that you give me, 10% of that, I will surrender unto you. Praise the Lord. And that is what happens every time you begin your journey with the blessing of a father. It takes you to lose. And at lose, the Lord manifests himself to you. He reveals his grace, his power, his glory, and you make a personal commitment and transaction with God. As I wind up this morning, I want to challenge each one of us. In the new journey that you are taking, you need the blessing of a father. You need to be charged. You need to be directed. You need purpose, and you need direction. And as you come to a point where you encounter God, it is important for you to make a personal commitment to God. Coming to church is good. Thank God you're here. Giving your offerings is good. Thank God you're here. But the Lord wants to go beyond that. He desires that we make personal commitment to him. For Jacob, he saw it from his father. He heard it from Abraham, his grandfather. But his time came when he needed to make a personal commitment. And the Bible says, and he made a vow. The only other person we see in the word of God making a vow was Hannah. When Hannah was waiting on God for a child, a time came in her desperation. She made a vow to God that should you bless me in the son, I will give him back to you. For Jacob, the vow was, if you be with me, if you bless me, I will make you my God. I will know you at a personal level. Number two, I'll build you a house. I'll transform Luz. It will become Bethel. It is at the same place where the temple stands today. And number three, he said, and out of all that you give me, I'll give you a tenth of my wealth. This morning, as I wind up, my prayer for this ministry, my prayer for each one of us, is that in the new journey you begin, may the heart of the Father be drawn towards you. And as you begin with the Father's blessing, may you come to Luz and make a personal decision and commitment to the Lord in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to ask you to stand up as I bless you this morning. Thank you, Lord. I don't know whether you need to begin a new journey with God. Maybe you have never even begun that journey. But today the Lord brought you into this Father's house. And I hear the Father's voice saying, I want to charge you. I want to bless you. I want to instruct you in the way you should go. I want to guide you with my eye. It takes a personal commitment and surrender to God. Maybe you have never had a personal relationship with God. You love Him, but you have never committed your life to the Lord. This could be your morning. This could be your day. It could be the moment where you make Him to be your personal Savior. You enter into a relationship with Him. I would want to pray with you. I would want to bless you. If you are here and you are saying, Pastor, I want to give personal commitment to the Lord, you may raise up your hand and I'll pray with you. Thank you for those hands. Keep it up as I bless you. Lord, these hands are lifted not unto me, but unto you. And you can see all these who desire today to have a personal commitment with you and to begin their journeys again with you. I bless them now in the name of Jesus. I speak your word into their spirits. I pray for newness. I pray for your word. I speak grace. I speak forgiveness of sins. I speak washing by the blood. I speak renewal in the name of Jesus. I pray that God, you show yourself strong in their lives. May the cloud of your glory come upon them afresh. Let there be conviction in their hearts to the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' name I bless you. Let the church agree and say amen. Thank you, Lord. We want to speak a blessing to George the Junior. Please come over, George. Thara hashila mahanda rabushila lala bazara hatila basa korihanda. Rahakila masala hatila busi labu hato pishalana. Raharila salabushila maramazala hatila ka. Thank you, Lord. John, I bless you this day. And I bless you with the blessing of revelation in your heart. That any new journey you begin in God will not be begun without the blessing from above. But like Jacob, may you hear the voice of God permeating into your spirit, coming through your heart, and guiding you every day. May the Lord bring you to a new level. A new level of experiencing His glory in the name of Jesus. May the Lord give you a hearing ear. May the Lord open the ear of your spirit to be able to hear and hear clearly. May the Lord give you a seeing eye to be able to see in the Spirit. And I bless you. I bring an impartation of the Spirit of God upon you. I pray that the Lord will fill you, fill this body with the Holy Ghost of God afresh. I pray for the fire of God to burn in you. And as you stand before this congregation every other Sunday, may you stand in the newness of life. May you stand in the newness of life. Oh yes, George, you are a new man. I release newness into you. I release newness into your life by the Spirit of God, by the love of the Lord. Newness is a new journey you will begin. And in that journey, the voice of God will be with you. You will come to lose, and you will see the angels of God ascending and descending on you. I pray the Lord is going to open new wells in your life. Every well that the enemy had covered, I reopen it this morning in the name of the Lord. And I pray for new masses over your life. New masses. I bless you. I speak new masses into your life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we bless you. Lord, I bless this congregation. Thank you for the word you give me for them. Thank you for giving me strength, Lord, to speak it out. I believe the seed will germinate and grow and bear fruit 100-fold in this house. I pray there's going to be a fresh and a new beginning again in this house. I pray that every Jacob will begin their journey looking for a wife, and that wife will be found in Bethel's house. I bless this congregation. I bless the leadership. I bless the ministers. I bless the families. Let there be a new beginning. Yes, a new beginning. A new beginning in the Lord. A new beginning in the Lord. A new beginning, a fresh beginning for this ministry. I release it right now to every family, every young person, even the children. Let them have a new beginning to the glory and honor of your name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's appreciate our Father in heaven. Thank you, Lord. We bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's appreciate God this day with a heart clap. Amen. Thank you. We may have our seats. We may take our seats. Thank you, Papa George. It's a great honor for me to stand over here. Next time, I'll be healthier. My voice will be better. And I'll come and deliver the word of the Lord. May the Lord bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Samuel. God bless you. Bless you. The interesting thing to me is Samuel's invitation in my life, his invitation to us, or the word of the Lord to us, is a new day, a new beginning. And those of you that were in the earlier prayer meeting, you were there, weren't you? We prayed that every man and woman and child would embrace a new beginning, a word from the Lord, a new day in the Lord today. That's the essence of it, wasn't it, Dorothy? That was the thing. That today we would embrace a new beginning, every man, every woman, and every child would embrace a new beginning today. And we also in that time, help us to get a hold of it, embrace it. Am I in trouble? Oh, this thing. Oh, bad news. Okay. It's giving them sound people nervous breakdown. And so I didn't know what Samuel was going to be preaching on. Fact is, I didn't even know Samuel was going to share anything until we were on the way here in the car. And then we discover this thing where God has a purpose, a new beginning, a new purpose, an occasion to speak new direction and purpose as a fellowship, as individuals. And my whole purpose in saying this, I want you to hear what the word of the Lord was to us this morning. I would also like to challenge you to say, we'll leave here in a moment or two and we'll be gone. But this week, I would like you to say, okay, well, what are you saying to me? What does that mean to me? Where does this fit in my life where I am today? Don't walk away from this. When Jacob came back to the place where he had met with God before, he was in bad trouble. He thought his brother was coming to kill him, and he's there. He met with God. And God gave him direction for the rest of his life. And the brother who was probably set out to kill him, I don't know whether he was going to kill him or not, but Jacob thought, this is not good. But when he met his brother, everything was different. God had prepared their hearts to come together. A new day. A new day that he didn't know was there one day earlier. He didn't know. Jacob was worried about coming home. His brother wanted to kill him when he left, and he wasn't sure. And so, you know what he did? He sent his flocks and his wife. Yeah, send his wife first. You know? Let her take the rap, you know? And he was going to come on last because he didn't know what was happening. And so the last guy to show up is going to be Jacob because he didn't know what was going to happen. But the God of Jacob had gone before. And the heart of Esau was changed. And he was welcomed home as a brother because God went before him. It wasn't his wife, and it wasn't his sheep, and it wasn't his camels, and it wasn't his kids or his grandchildren. God went before him. And I want you to hear this. God has called you. Today is a new day. And he has gone before you, and he's got stuff for you to be about in the days ahead. I challenge you to set some time aside and say, okay, God, we met yesterday, we met today. Write that down in the tablets of my heart and lead me into the new day that you have designed for me to live in. In Jesus' name. John, do you want to share something here? You got to push that little button and then try to look intelligent and go ahead and say something.
I was just thinking as Pastor George was speaking, a new day, new direction. Jacob came to a new place, changed the name of that place. There are places that we go to that needs to experience God that we experience. They need to see, to have that personal encounter. There are people in those places. And we are the Jacob who should bring changes to those places. It could be your workplace. It could be on the street, on the grocery store. And we are the people. We didn't know, Jacob didn't know what was going to happen the day after. But God knew. We might not know. There are people we meet who don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. But we can help them have that experience with God.
Let's expect that God is going to make a difference in our lives. I'd like us to wait for just a moment before we rush on. And I'd like you to just present your heart before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, help me not to forget anything. What you wrote there. And show me when, where, and how. you want to accomplish your purposes in my destiny. Dear Lord, we do thank you for new opportunities, fresh opportunities. And we open our hearts to hear from our Father the new day that you have set before us. May we be sensitive and obedient as we walk into the new day that you have designed. By your own purposes, mercy and grace, that we would walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to just one thing that I'd like to ask you. I wonder, is there anyone, well, I'm sure there are some, but would you indicate that I believe I'm on the beginning of a new day in my life today? Would you just put your hand up? Okay, you see those hands? So, Father, you see those hands, but Lord, I pray that you would stir in each of our hearts that reality that we're stepping into a new day. And Lord, because of that, we just want to say very clearly, we need to hear from you. As we step, if we don't hear from you, we'll just stumble along like we have. Everything will be the same over, same old, same old. We say we're entering a new day, and it won't be same old, same old. We have a new day with a new assignment, and we will, by your grace and mercy, we will walk in it. And all the people say, amen. 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 Thank you, Samuel, for giving to us the word of the Lord. One item, we have changed the timing for the ordination service tomorrow to 2:30. And so anybody know for sure that you will be here tomorrow at 2:30 or somewhere around there? Just to catch a few hands and names. Okay. Okay. About 10. And we have a little bit of refreshments afterwards, kind of like to have an idea how much to prepare. Thank you for being here today and for hearing the word of the Lord.
Maybe they're wondering, why am I being ordained here?
Say it again.
Maybe they're wondering, why come here for the ordination?
Why would they?
Oh, they don't wonder that?
Why would they want to come?
No, I'm just saying, I don't know, maybe some of you are wondering, why come all the way to be ordained here?
Oh, why did you come? Got it. Why did you come all the way from Kenya to come here to be ordained? What in the world is wrong with him?
You know, when you hang around Grandpa, he has a way of forcing you to do things while he's smiling and making you smile. So I have been... Oh, sorry. To not say a lot of things, Grandpa has been, I don't want to say an encouragement to me, but he has been a father, if I may use that word. And God has used to him to speak to me words, sometimes that were not very nice. And you all know him. He doesn't hold back. So God used him to speak to me. And as much as I was running away from ministry or serving God, I knew ministry was not, the first time he told me, I told him that wasn't for me. Because I knew I wasn't in ministry.
And as we proceeded, God called me, and when we were looking into what God wants us to do, me and Betty, God spoke to us that we were going to come and plant a ministry in Atlanta. And we, at first, we didn't even believe it was God, because I hated Atlanta.
A lot of pain there.
Yes, everything, every pain I have ever gone through in life was in the city of Atlanta. And now, God, you're sending me there. But God said, the vision that my dad had. Now, let me back up a little bit. When my dad was sick, you know, my dad and Pastor George were good friends, very good friends, and they served together. Pastor George came and asked to speak to me, and they were with my brother George too. And he said, I have heard the word of God saying that your dad is not going to get well, but I heard the words, Father, Father, which means he is passing on the mantle. To me, that was not even from God, because I knew my father was going to recover. But
of scripture, by the way, you may remember when Elijah and Elisha, and Elijah was about to be taken home. By the way, your dad went home.
Yes.
Yeah, just remember that. Mm. He went home. But when that happened, Elisha wanted the mantle. And the promise was to Elisha, if you will see Elijah when he leaves, you will get the double blessing, the double. Anyways, that promise was in that context, that as Andrew was about to go home, that my father, and the call to ministry was given to you. And I believe that there's not just a mantle, but a double portion available to you.
Amen.
In the days ahead. Go ahead.
It's interesting when you're saying that, because he said, if you see me when I leave, you will get double portion. When my father was leaving, I had just left the hospital and I got home, and they called me and told me, your dad is not doing well, you need to come back. We drove back to the hospital, and as soon as we got there, I didn't know what to do, but I just told my mom, let's all hold hands and pray together. By then, he was unconscious for maybe like 2 days. As soon as we finished praying together and I said amen, he woke up, looked at all of us, he laid back, and he was gone. So when you say that, it was kind of interesting. I never even thought of it from that perspective. It was me, my mom, and Derek. You remember Derek, who was my roommate. And then the nurses also asked to join us as we were praying, which was very weird. But so the prophecies kept coming that I was to proceed with the mantle that God had given my dad. But to me, I knew I wasn't there. I was not going to be the guy. But every time, God kept speaking. And finally, when we said, yes, God, we are ready for this. Because now we had gone to a point where we had no peace. And Betty did not waste time to let me know that she could tell I didn't have peace. I don't know how. We agreed to go wherever God sent us. And lo and behold, he confirmed he wanted us to be in Atlanta. And what he said, I'm giving you a larger platform to finish what your dad started in a larger platform. So we're coming to Atlanta, planting a mission that we are going to go to the nations. From there, we're going to spread the word of God and go to wherever God sends us. And that's when God spoke to us that we need to come back to our spiritual father, someone who has authority to, someone we can submit to. And that's why we came to Pastor George. So we'll do this here tomorrow. Then we'll proceed to Nairobi. Nairobi, I think they have a ceremony they want to do there, just a celebration ceremony. And then we will come and start doing what God has called us to do.
Praise the Lord. Now, folks, some of you are going to be here tomorrow, but some of you won't be. But would you say, okay, God, get him good. Nail his hide, you know, get him good, Lord. And, well, we're going to be doing some things, going to lay hands on him. Some of the area pastors are going to be coming in to minister to John and to release the word of the Lord. And Samuel will be here, and he'll probably slap him upside the head a few times. And we hope that he survives the occasion, but would you pray for him Because this is the beginning of a new day for John. This really is a new day for John, just like the rest of us. But his is being sent out. Where do you have the thing in Nairobi? Is that Usanga or is that something else that you're doing?
It's going to be at Nairobi Pentecostal Bible College.
That's it.
Well, what happens is that since I come from a bishop's home, they felt was in the desire was for me to be ordained there, but God wanted us to be ordained in a place where we have our spiritual authority. That's why you're coming here. So they have gathered there and decided to do just a simple celebration, Thanksgiving. It was supposed to be 50 people. Now I hear they have about 500 people. So I don't even know what they are doing over there. But it's going to be in Nairobi Pentecostal Bible College. And yes.
You know, happened this morning at 4:30 this morning. Usanga, who's a pastor of a large church in Nairobi,
pastors about 3,000 people.
3,000 people. I want you to know this: that Kenya is not behind us. Kenya is ahead of us by about 7 hours all the time. Every day of the week, they're ahead of us. So if you want to catch up and get at the beginning of the race, you have to go to Kenya or someplace. Anyways. Usanga's church service, which is 7 hours ahead of ours, he's having a church service and he has about 3,000 people, and they interrupt the service to call John at 4:30 here and pray for John as the whole church was praying for what is going to happen to John tomorrow. And so we're just adding our prayers to the prayers of Usanga's church as well as others. For John in this new beginning. And remember that the new beginning is ours as well. Everyone, the prayer this morning was that everyone, every man, every woman, every child would discover a new touch from God today. It was for today. And you heard the word. God wants to speak into your life. And part of that will be blessing, protection, order, and the continued presence of God. Let's have a new day at CLF. And all the people said, God bless you. Take a chance to greet our guests. And if you're able to be back tomorrow, be here. And if you're not, pray anyways. God will hear your prayer. Have a great week.